You're recording? Okay, thank you. Okay, we are now back in open session. At this time, Dr. Bodke, I would like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Okay. Thank you for being here today. I just kind of before we get started, I think for this particular discussion, we just want to make sure today that we are focusing solely on how you are utilizing vet techs within your practice and kind of specific to this board complaint, and really try to avoid kind of a broader discussion or conversation or topic that could probably go on for, you know, many hours, about the CBT field and, you know, nurse practitioner and all of those things. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Great. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well then, at this time, Dr. Bodke, we'd like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present anything that you feel is relevant.
So as far as our summary, kind of moving forward with, you know, how we utilize this this position that we put into place, it is very specialized. It is not for every CBT, but it was something to help expand the utilization of a certified veterinary technician who had, you know, special disciplines. And everything was done under the direct supervision, guidance, of the attending veterinarian while they were working with us on our floor. So every physical exam was performed with a veterinarian. The veterinarian would discuss the case with these, you know, advanced veterinary, you know, nurse practitioner and or practice nurse, and she would, you know, take the direction of the veterinarian to, you know, have those diagnostics performed, which, you know, she's, you know, certified to do that, to establish, you know, certain treatments, especially if the case, you know, ended up in as an inpatient or needed hospitalization. And everything that she was able to perform or do that was more advanced, again, was done under the supervision of a veterinarian and within the guidelines of her VTS degree that she obtained about 21 years ago. So this is, again, not a position for every CBT, you know, by the standard of what, you know, we put in that position. But we did always have a veterinarian there to go through the case so that when she moved forward to discuss the case with the owner and help, you know, with medical discharges, that information would already have been reviewed and approved by the attending vet.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have anything further to add? Okay, I would now like to ask any of the board members if they have any questions.
Yes, Madam Chair, I do. Can you compare, because you're referring to a specific person in this case, correct?
Yes.
Okay, can you compare what that person, the duties you had them doing, compared to a CVT you had there?
As far as, because we're at this time, we don't have a CVT with a VTS, so the comparison is a little bit more direct. So we wouldn't have like a CVT who didn't have their VTS or had that years of experience.
So you have no CVTs functioning as CVTs?
The CVTs are functioning as CVTs.
Okay, can you, and then I pose my question again, can you compare what that specific person was doing to what your CVT was doing?
I mean, as far as what they did is performing medical tasks.
Exactly.
Yes. So they are performing similar, you know, tasks that are, you know, outlined in, you know, the statutes and what are acceptable for a, you know, certified veterinary technician. So
you're saying they're performing the same thing as a CVT? That why the special designation would be my follow-up question.
The special designation is to utilize them to help, basically, you know, use that information that they gain from the veterinarian to educate the owners, speak to the owners, discharge with, so that the veterinarian didn't have to spend that time in the room with the owner going over diagnostics, going over, you know, what the veterinarian states as the diagnosis and then the plan. So that's what we are really using this case, this specific position for, to kind of help take that load off those more just like urgent care cases. So coming in with like, you know, either like a skin wound or, you know, like an eye ulcer, that information, once the veterinarian said, this is a great plan, this is what I want to do, that, you know, position was utilized to get that information to the client so that the DVM could go on to a next case.
Would they actually do the treatment recommended by the DVM? Take the eye ulcer. The DVM recommends specific medications be administered that they would normally administer. Does this other position you're referring to, would they be administering it instead of the DVM?
Could I interject real quick? From your hospital protocols here, under more detailed list of duties, I think that's what she's asking.
Yes.
Some of the things on that list.
Would they be included? If you know, that advanced list is only for that position.
Yeah, my question is, how does that differ from a CBT? And if it's still back to that, when you say that position, it's something you've created and we're dealing with CBTs. So how does that compare to a CBT?
I mean they're both CBTs and they both perform duties of the CBT.
But they don't both perform the same duties.
This position performs something that's a little bit more advanced because of their background.
And I'm asking you to be specific.
So
in the comparison.
I mean, more so along the lines of she felt comfortable, she wanted to perform abdominocentesis or thoracocentesis, she could do that. Has she done that at our facility? No. But because of her training and those listed in what is, you know, what can be performed by VTS, they list performing thoracocentesis on these VTS.
When you say they list, who's they?
They are the academies of veterinary.
Okay, that's not the state statutes.
But they are approved by AVMA and NAVTA.
Yeah, that I understand that, but they're not the state statutes.
The state statutes, though, state that the individual who's performing CBT duties cannot perform surgery, cannot diagnose, and cannot write prescriptions, and she didn't do any of that.
So it's just somebody, it's like, if I wanted to spend the time and money to go get my MBA, I could probably be a little bump and maybe move up a notch at my current employer.
But your duties would be the same?
It'd change a little bit, but a lot would be the same. My region manager does a lot of things I do on a bigger scale. This is the same thing. It's a CVT that has the wherewithal, both internally and money-wise, to say, I want to do a little bit more to educate myself, and so they do. And then their employer, if they recognize it, pays them more money than they pay the other kids. It does. It just puts in his 8 hours and goes home.
Right, but it comes to the question again of that, are they performing duties outside that of a CBT?
They're doing stuff that CBT's not doing, because I can't rely on that CBT.
And is it stuff though?
But they're doing, but they're not doing the surgery.
Right, they're not working at the level of a doctor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Dr. Wright, I have a question, because again, this all goes back to kind of what was said in the very beginning on this Facebook post, and on there, you said that this person has been an invaluable help to see urgent cases. What do you mean by that? Because from what you're explaining to me right now, or explaining to us, you're doing a exam in tandem with the doctor. You're coming up with a plan in tandem with the doctor. You're presenting that at the direction of the doctor. where is this actually saving time? From what you're explaining here, it's actually, in my mind, going back to school, going back to doing this with other doctors, that takes much more time. So to me, it sounds like there's a lot more independence than you're telling us about right now. So can you take us through a case that comes in for an ear infection? How is that technician, that CBT with a VTS, going to help streamline that when the doctor's still doing everything according to what you're saying?
To answer that question, I probably would have to call Amy Dow. She's a veterinarian that worked directly with this CBT VTS, as I never utilized her under my care. I talk about the position, I support the position, but Amy Dow is one who actually worked directly with her. So I would like to call Amy Dow to answer that question.
Mark, is it okay to bring her up in addition, or should we have Dr. Bodke step back?
That's at the discretion of the board.
On the same side.
Does anybody have any other questions?
Yeah, maybe of Dr. Bodke.
Yeah.
Dr. James.
Go ahead. Why don't we just take it one at a time? Yeah.
That's totally fine, yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, go ahead, Dr. James.
So just for clarification, I understand that these exams were being done in tandem with doctors, but specifically, would the appointments have been scheduled with the doctor on the book, or would they be scheduled with this VMT?
Since we're in emergency and urgent care, we do not have appointments. It's walk-in only.
It's walk-in only. And then when they come in, if the VMT goes in to examine, do they come out and relay their findings to the doctor, and then the doctor and the VMP discuss it, or does the doctor actually go in following the VMP and actually place hands on the pet?
The veterinarian who is attending with that position is also placing hands on the pet.
Okay, and then...
So how is that helpful in saving time? That seems like that just adds additional steps in. Sorry, Dr. James.
Again, no, that's okay. I have to call Amy Dow to answer that question for you, since I did not utilize her as that position personally.
Okay, you go ahead, Dr. James, sorry.
Okay, and then following on that, if the recommendation is that the dog's going to be placed on some sort of medication, who would decide on the dosing? Not calculate and fill the drug, but who would actually decide on what level of dosing to use?
The veterinarian, always.
And would that be documented in the medical records under the veterinarian? Would they actually write that and then the VPN would fill it, or?
Correct.
And in the medical records, is it clear what the exam findings of the VNP were versus the veterinarian?
Yes, everything was read through and approved by the attending veterinarian, and she would sign it at the end as well.
Okay, thank you. I think I have the other questions I have are probably for the other doctor as well.
Okay, so if no further questions, you may step back, and then I'll have Dr. Amy Dow come forward, and please state your name for the record.
My name is Dr. Amy Dow.
Okay, go ahead and have a seat. I'm gonna swear you in. Okay, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Okay, thank you. I would now, how about we start with Dr. Wright on the phone, since you were the first one that had a question for Dr. Dow. And again, let's remember, folks, that we're keeping these as questions. Let's have more general discussion after we're finished with our respondents.
All right, thank you. Again, this is Dr. Wright. So walk me through, again, based on what was said, that this technician is invaluable for helping with these urgent cases that the doctor doesn't truly need to basically deal with as much. Help me to understand how this process works and how this is actually fit in time. So please walk me through, let's say an animal is coming in with what looks to be an ear infection. How is this done, and how is this technician helpful in that instance?
Yeah, so we perform most of our exams in our back treatment area. We're all back there. The patient is brought back in triage. And normally at that time, depending on wait times, I either examine the patient at this point with the VTS or advanced nurse practitioner, I guess you want to, I'm going to call them the VTS, okay? Let's make it easy. At the same time, and we discuss what potential diagnosis could be and what my treatment, if I, or diagnostics or whatever DI diagnostics I think are warranted in this case. Like, let's say it's an ear infection. An ear infection, I might not do diagnostics. I might say, hey, this one probably needs to have an ear cytology done. So what saves me the time is, from that point, she goes and communicates with the client what my wishes are so I can move on to my other patients. And examine them, treat them, recommend diagnostics, write up records. She takes over the case for me, comes back and says, this is what they'd like to do and this is what they've approved. Great, okay. Let's say that they did not want to do an ear cytology at that point. Then I say, these are the medications I'm going to recommend. These are the doses that this dog needs for this ear infection. Hence, it gets filled. It gets done. If I write it in the, if it has to be a handwritten one, that normally gets written by me. And then she continues to communicate with the client. I read through the record at the end. Most of our, actually all the time, our patients leave with discharge instructions, and a lot of those times those discharge instructions are the full medical record at that time. So the time savings for me is the communication portion. So I can continue to communicate with other clients and other patients when I have like 4 to 8 hours of patients to see in an emergency situation.
And just a regular, I'm sorry, Dr. Wright, I'm joking, is that okay?
No, go, yeah, go for it, okay. Go for it. I have some follow-ups, yeah, okay. Go for a question.
Okay. Why couldn't a CVT do that? I mean, if it's just communication, with the pet parent or the client, then why, what is the special
designation? So a CBT could definitely do that. And yes, my CBTs will communicate with the client, but she has special training. So I have a little bit more trust in her and her knowledge base when she's communicating with clients, when she is recommending the diagnostics that I have offered.
But if a cytology was determined to be necessary, who would be doing it?
Well, I mean, we're going to take the swabs, and she can take swabs, and she can look at a cytology and show me what she's found.
Okay, so forgive me, but this sounds like basic technician work. I mean, the technician's not doing anything that my technicians don't do at my hospital. So what are your technicians not allowed to do that this VTS is allowed to do? Because that sounds like basic technician responsibilities to me. So if that's the only person in your hospital that can do those responsibilities, how are your other technicians functioning?
They're functioning at a pretty high level. Yes, I do let them communicate to some extent in the sense that she did, but she makes it very clear that I am working in conjunction with said doctor. These are the choices for diagnosis. I don't ever have FaceTime with the client. That's the difference between a VTS and a CBT. She does all of the communication with that patient that is assigned to her.
None of it comes directly from you.
She does it through me. I direct her, yes.
Right, but you don't actually do it directly with the client, she does.
Yes.
So now
without, which is not a violation of any state statute.
Now without a person in that position,
yes,
you are doing all of the.
I'm doing all the communication.
You're doing all the client.
Yes.
So this person was being utilized for client communication.
And for her skill set, I mean, she did do a lot of extra CBT stuff. She did training for us on our CBTs. There's other things that she did in this position.
Yeah, but what I'm asking is, we have this list of things that they could do in your hospital, and you're telling us that that's under the direct supervision of the veterinarian.
The list of things, yes. If there's certain things on there that are in question about, maybe potentially, it has to be the comfort level of the doctor. So if there is a question, like when I was on the floor, if I was, let's say, I don't know which one you're worried about.
How about the, well, there's several. How about the ultrasound-guided FNA and cystosynthesis procedure. I understand the cystosynthesis.
Yeah.
But an FNA of a liver.
So for me, my relationship with her at that time is that, yes, to me, she's allowed to do that. But I did all of my own ultrasounds with her on those cases. And if I felt an abdominis, I would do my own abdominis.
So you were right there.
Yes.
And so to Dr. Wright's point, how is that helping you in this situation we find ourselves where we are so busy with all these? How is that?
I mean, it depends on how fast you are at ultrasound. I mean, normally I'm doing a fast scan, but I mean, I understand what your question is how is that helpful? If I wasn't back there or had time to, I mean, I guess I would trust her to do an ultrasound if I wanted her to do it. It's just, that was my personal experience. I chose to do it.
Well, that's what we're all struggling with, was this someone doing procedures to free up the veterinarians.
Yes.
And therefore, that is not the appropriate use of a CBT, regardless of their extra. And was that what was happening because you needed the help? I mean, you're overwhelmed with cases, so I'm going to turn over a certain amount of procedures to someone else. Because if you just turn that procedure over to someone else, but you had to be there, I don't see that that is an advantage on the time saving.
There's no efficiency gain.
Ultrasound
and an abdominal cystosynthesis is a little bit more advanced. Let's say it's an ultrasound-guided cystosynthesis. I would allow her to do that.
What about a Flutie procedure? What would that be? I mean,
no,
do they put the catheter?
That would be a hospitalized case. Like, that would be a case that I would take on hospitalization.
And you would do
that? Yeah, because it's under sedation.
Okay.
So for me,
List also.
It's on the list. That's one that...
I can't see you.
Would be comfortable. I think a male dog catheterization, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, I would let her do that.
Maybe not for an obstruction, but for
paralytic dog that
or something decide, like that.
I would definitely let her pass a male catheter in a dog.
Emesis induction, they calculate the dose themselves, or would that be approved by you?
Yes. So it might be a verbal confirmation of
verbal confirmation. And what is endoscopic examinations they would do?
Yes. So no, they did not do. She did not perform endoscopy in our practice.
It sounds like you're utilizing them mainly for client communication.
Yes.
And
to take on the case and do all the communication portion.
Sure.
And do most.
And
of
an invaluable.
Record.
CBT can do that.
They can do that. And some of our CBTs will do some of this stuff, but not to that extent.
Not to that degree?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have you.
Okay. Anyone on the phone have any further questions of Dr. Dow?
This is Dr. James. I have a couple questions.
Go
ahead. So in the cases where she's doing the communication with the owners, if they have questions during this communication, is that directed at her or is that directed at the doctor, or she just makes that judgment call on whether she can answer it or not?
She will answer it to the best of her capabilities, but if there is one that she feels like she can't answer or the client has further more details, especially medicine driven, then she will engage me. She would have engaged me. And then
okay.
But that rarely happens. This person was very knowledgeable.
Okay, and then I think you said this earlier, but I just want to verify that I heard it correctly, that every client that she saw, she made clear to tell them she was not a doctor.
Absolutely. And she would say, I am Angela. I am a advanced nurse practitioner. I am working under the direction of Dr. Amy Dow.
Okay, and then I have another question that's more about the post that was the Facebook post. So I don't know if that, can we go back?
Well, yeah, we will go back. So does anyone else have any questions for Dr. Dow? Okay, you may step back. Technically, the complaint in this case is the Arizona Vet Board, so I don't believe that we have any need to make a statement at this time. So we'll just go ahead and have Dr. Bodke come back up. Come back up. So we have some more questions, and then I'll let you make any final, you know, statements or ask or answer any other questions that we had. But Dr. James, go ahead.
So from the testimony that we've just heard, I mean, it sounds like to me that this person is functioning as a very experienced CBT, which we all have CBTs of different levels of experience, and we, based on their experience and our comfort with them, we allow them to do different things, right? So it sounds like to me that that is what was happening in the clinic from the testimony. But when I read the post that says, I have a VPS who started seeing urgent cases at our overrun ER. That does not sound like she communicates with owners on behalf of our doctors or is fully trained to do expanded procedures at the full extent of a technician. It sounds like she's doing something more than what a technician is allowed to do. Am I missing something here?
Yes, because the second statement I made on social media, which was not submitted originally, expanded on that and did state that we utilize them under a veterinarian to move forward. I also stated in that second statement that if anyone had questions or if anyone wanted more information, that I'm an open book and you can contact me, you can come to my hospital and we can go through how we utilize this position. So yes, the initial statement, although seems possibly inflammatory, the expansion of that explains in much more detail what we do.
So real quick, this is Dr. Redding. As a follow-up on that question, does this technician perform an examination on her own and then present that to the doctor, and then does she write up her own notes and the doctor approves them, or how is it recorded?
I would have Amy Dow answer that for you.
Mark,
okay, well, I'll withdraw that question for now.
Okay.
Dr. Wright, I believe I asked that earlier, and it was stated that they write their own notes, and if we looked at the medical records, you could tell the difference between the nurse practitioner and the doctor.
Yeah, and that's why I'd like to see those notes personally. But okay.
Would anybody like clarification? We can bring Dr. Dow back up here.
No, I don't need any additional questions clarified for me at this point.
Okay. So, Dr. Bodke, do you have any final comments, statements, or questions?
So I do have some more information as far as the efficiencies that we can obtain with this. So I'd like to ask Nikki Frost to the
table. Okay. Ms. Frost, please fill out a form.
Is it sidetracking or?
I mean, as long as she's another witness, so that's okay, correct?
Yeah, but are we talking about the future and how this could help things?
No.
Or are we kind of talking about what
transpired
that led to this complaint being?
The post, what the post said.
Okay, so please state your name for the record.
Nikki Moss.
Nikki, I will swear you in now. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Okay.
A question about how does this improve efficiency? It's really hard to understand when you're talking about the position because a certified veterinary technician is regulated by the board. This position acknowledges the VTS component of this applicant or this person in this job description. And so when you look at whenever we utilize that position to advanced communications, it cut our wait times down by about 40% when we were utilizing this position. So while it sounds very trivial and that any CBT could do it, that's not the case in our practice. Our job descriptions are very specific to what their title is. Their credentials matter to us, but also their compensation is tied to that, much as if you have a specialist in the veterinary side, They're still a veterinarian. They're regulated the same way. However, they do have advanced proficiencies that they've proven with board. They create case studies and then they pass separate boards. So while it's not necessarily regulated by the state board, it is. It does make a difference to competencies and confidence when it comes to our doctors.
Okay, thank you. Do any of the members on the phone have a question for Ms. Frost?
I don't have any questions.
No.
Okay. Anyone else here? Okay. Should I offer a response? I just want to, again, make sure that you don't have any other further questions now. Since you are the respondent, I always want to give you the last opportunity to speak. So I don't know if you have anything additional after your witness spoke or if you're...
I think I'm okay.
Okay, yeah. Great. Okay. So this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do on this matter. Again, let's make sure we're focusing on this particular complaint and not, this general subject as a whole. Dr. Thompson was the lead, so I'll let you, if you want to kick things off, otherwise anybody else can jump in, of course.
For me, I found this was very helpful in trying to better understand what the technician was doing. If we look at the statute, as was mentioned, the certified veterinary technician shall not do surgery, diagnose, prescribe medication, or provide a prognosis. And from the description that they're giving us, it does not sound as though this physician is doing any of those things. So I don't necessarily see an issue. I understand where, I've been in practices where, a behavior is the one that kind of pokes their head up for me, where I took my pet to a veterinary behaviorist and our interactions with the certified veterinary technician that had advanced training in behavior, so they had those extra credentials, was the person that I actually interacted with the most. The doctor came in, did their exam, gave ideas, but to clarify what the doctor's instructions were, that technician was that point of contact. And even on subsequent phone calls, that technician was the point of contact. So if I had additional questions that she couldn't answer, it then got kicked up to the doctor, but that, again, allowed the doctor to see other cases. And I kind of see this as the same type of thing. As long as they're not performing any of the things that are listed here in the statute, if anybody wants to add,
okay. Just a question. So they're performing the post as they're performing diagnostics. You're saying they're not making a diagnosis.
Correct. There's a difference between performing, you can draw blood, which is a diagnostic. Right. They cannot take that and look at it and say your dog has cancer. That's outside of their realm.
Well, I think that without specific case in mind, where we're looking at something that this person and this doctor was involved with, I don't think we can really make a determination that this person was doing things that he or she shouldn't have been doing. Where we're all struggling is with that would save time. That would save a lot of time, but you can't do that. So the communication part, I agree. Some CBTs are much, much better than others, but they're all CBTs and there are some that I trust to do more client communication than others. I don't know where designating them as an advanced technician really helps with that because we all have CBTs that we trust to do that. So the question here is, was this person doing things that a doctor should have been doing in order to save them time in an emergency situation, clinic, which is overwhelmed? That's the question. Without a specific case,
I would throw in there that I'm a senior territory manager and make more money. Mm-hmm. What the hell is the difference between me and a territory manager?
Nothing.
Right.
I mean,
well, so this is Dr. Wright.
I think I do things better and wiser and faster and a little better, but it's territory manager is territory manager.
Designation.
But that designation, which means nothing outside of, barrier Eagle Line, right? And it doesn't mean anything
Right, exactly.
Anywhere, and I don't think the CVT means something underneath the statute. The rest of it is just their pay scale.
I agree, totally. I agree, and I applaud.
Well, this is.
I applaud them.
I'd like to say something on that though, because okay. I'm not reconciling in my mind what was said, and then we're backpedaling. I mean, that's kind of what I was seeing there, and really what my suspicion is that this technician is being utilized as a doctor, and if we look at medical records, we might see issues with that because. One, you're going in and presenting yourself in an advanced nurse practitioner, which is not a title that even exists. I mean, you're making up a title to make yourself sound more important just so you can communicate better. And so this just, I can't reconcile this in my mind. This doesn't make sense to me. And I would like to see more records as to what's going on because I'm thinking here, and this is just me, but based on what I'm hearing, based on what I'm seeing, based on what I'm reading, and based on what I know what's happening in the industry anymore. Technicians have been used as doctors in multiple places, and then the doctor reads over these notes this technician writes and says, yeah, that sounds good, go ahead.
Yes.
And that is more of, I have the impression that's more of what's going on here, as opposed to, oh yeah, you have an advanced tech title, we're paying you more just so you can communicate. That doesn't mesh in my mind.
But I don't think it's just to communicate. I mean, there's a list of skills, and whether, you know, it sounds as though
if we're limiting it, then this hospital is imposing those limitations on themselves. I mean, that's creating the backlog right there, which is causing problems. So you're creating a position to fix the problem that you've created. So this doesn't reconcile in my mind. There's more to this based on what I'm hearing.
No, I guess for me, this position isn't like you're stuck on the communication piece, and that's why things are being sped up. Like,
no, I'm not stuck on the communication piece. I'm stuck on the fact that that's the only difference. But I don't believe that's the only difference because that's not going to save significant amounts of time, and that's
not
the
saying that's the only difference. They're saying that there's other diagnostics that they could perform, and that they would allow that individual to perform based on the doctor's comfort with that ability, that person's ability to perform those diagnostics. Does that mean that she would allow her to do a thoracocentesis if she wasn't comfortable? No, but if she was comfortable, she may allow her to do that with her still being in the room, which is technically direct supervision. In an emergency hospital, you can have multiple patients on tables and the doctor is still right there, and this person could be performing that, which she has a different skill set than what a CBT who hasn't had the additional training could do. So it still falls under the statute. It's just that they have a little bit more advanced training and the doctor is comfortable with these individuals doing it. And that there saves time along with the communication.
Yeah, and that's the explanation we're getting. But again, when you go back to the initial stuff, this person sees patients to lighten load. That's not
but
performing
that's
additional tasks.
That's
personally, I'd like to see some records from these cases that this technician saw before I can make any kind of determination, because this doesn't make sense in my mind, and this is not a significant time saver, and so there's more going on here. I mean, there has to be, because this doesn't make sense. I can't reconcile the explanations in my mind.
40% sounds like a lot of time.
What's that?
40% sounds like a lot.
40% what?
40% time. 40% of,
yeah, but based on communication alone, see that's where it's not. That's not.
Now,
that's not making
the
sense.
The overall proficiencies. You improve
personal.
What do we say is the number one reason why people end up here? Communication. What happens when you have very good communication? It speeds the whole process up, not just the conversation. You're not making the conversation faster. You're making everything that goes along with it smoother, faster. Sometimes slower is faster.
But that's not what was said.
That's what I think everybody else in the room is shaking their head. They heard.
No.
Well, that's what I heard.
I agree with Dr.
That's what I.
Dr. Bryan. I can't.
Posting it.
Just
cases. That's not education. So that's backpedaling after the fact, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, why don't we have, should we have somebody make a motion and then we can see where that goes? And certainly if somebody wants to create a new motion or propose a new case, we can certainly go that direction as well.
I make a motion based on the information that we have, there's no violation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to dismiss case 22-1112 with no violation. Let's do a roll call.
Dr. James? Is Dr. James still on the phone?
Dr. James, are you still with us? You get to go first.
I'm still here. Nay.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Nay.
Ms. Solomon?
Nay.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Nay.
Ms. Crager?
Aye.
And 4-3, no. So motion fails.
So motion fails.
I got 4-4. You got 4-4?
One, two, three, four, five. Oh, wait, that can't be.
Six, seven, yeah.
There's
seven.
So,
yeah,
I'm
pretty
sure it was
James,
four.
James, Dr.
Mosley,
Ms. Solomon, and Dr.
In that VST, you
can
do better math better.
Yeah. For the day.
Okay. So motion fails. Yes. So do we have an alternate motion?
I have a question for Mr. Harris real quick. If I were to make a motion on a continuance to seek some more information, because the technician in question was a CBT, would it be possible to request them to be present to give their kind of testimony, or would that have to be a separate case?
No. Is your thought to continue this informal interview to ask the CBT to appear, or do you want additional investigation to take place?
Well, I would like to see some records. So if I end up making a motion, that's going to be my next motion is for that. But I'm just wondering, is it possible to get the CBT, or to actually ask for that, would it have to be a separate case to be able to ask people to come in and talk?
No, it doesn't have to be a separate case.
Okay, so I would I'll make a motion to continue this and request medical records that this technician was involved with for review, and request that the technician come in to testify on what their duties were.
Okay, so that is a motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Just for clarification, what records are we requesting? Just the clinic to pull some random samples, or somebody?
No, of what the technician, a case that the technician was involved in that they were doing this with.
But I'm assuming they pick which cases they're submitting?
Hold on, how many records did you say?
Doing that.
I think we need to pick.
I'm sorry?
How many records did you say? All their records?
Yeah. No, I didn't say all the records. Oh. No, I think that would be crazy. I don't think there's any other have them collect them, which I think is fine, but I would like to see, I don't know, maybe three records that this technician was involved in, so we can see what their tasks actually were based on records.
Okay, I let Victoria speak real quick.
I was just gonna remind everybody we have a court reporter, so everybody, one person should be talking at a time.
Okay, thank you. Dr. James, did you have something to add?
Yeah, I think it would be helpful if we got medical records from like maybe 2 days of cases that this technician saw around the time of the post, because I imagine things have maybe changed a little bit. But what I would also say is I would like to see full days, not them picking out which cases we get to see. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was wondering how I could say something like that. Yeah, that's a good idea. So.
Okay. So could Tracy, do you have something to add, or Mark?
So I was gonna, if you guys would like to ask how they track cases to see if that's even something that they can do, if it's feasible that they would even know if that technician was working that day. Because I think what is happening that it's the doctor's cases and that a staff member was assisting the doctor, and I'm not sure that they track that.
So they never initial anything that they did?
So
the technician.
Any team member will initial, like any treatments that they've performed. So when a doctor orders treatments, each team member will sign off. So you may have multiple team members signed off on a record, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But there's no way to, other than knowing the day she worked, there would be no way to indicate that differently. So you could basically pull all the records, but for example, like if it was a day where she was working, and let's say Dr. Dow and another doctor were on the floor, she may have only worked with Dr. Dow, but Dr. Dow may have seen 20 cases, but only a certain number of those was she assigned as her technician. But she may have helped with other treatments on other cases, even for the other doctor, if that makes sense. So if we had to provide injections or fluids, so there's really no way to track that. I mean, you can pull all those records, but you wouldn't be able to differentiate because it's only under the doctor. We can't track.
Well,
and I think that's why. I think why the request was for a full day's records, because we can just send in the entire records for that day and then see those. That way you don't have to pick and choose which ones they are going to be. It's just print up the entire records, submit them, and then we can go through that point and see where the technician did. But I think that was the request, is full day's records. That's how I interpreted that.
So would we be able to go back when that person was at the practice, whether it's right before this post or not, but would you be able to look back on your schedule and figure out a day that she was working if we were then to, and then specifically get something from that day?
Yes, I can find a day she was working, but I wouldn't know what cases she was attached to the doctor on necessarily. I don't know if that makes sense, because
right.
She also did advanced training for the team and she worked the floor. So I wouldn't be able to tell what, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Day, just because our scheduler, whenever we write it up, it's that day where everybody's assigned, like their position. She was the only one that filled that job description, but she didn't fill that job description every day.
Okay.
Well, but that's what if you send the full day's records, but no, I'm sorry, I don't know if we can have discussion here, but if we request the full day's records, then we can see which records apply, which ones don't, and just discard the ones that don't.
But she may not have, even though she was at work that day, she may not have been doing
yeah.
that position. So her initials can still be on records, but not as that.
Yeah, it sounds almost hopeless.
Well, and that's the thing. It almost sounds like,
but you could just pick a day where there wasn't any problems.
Right.
So,
well,
where she wasn't, if it was a day where, and I'm just throwing this, I'm not accusing anybody of
yeah.
anything. I'm saying that if we have a day where she was doing something that she shouldn't be doing under the statutes, you would give us that day.
So
I mean,
what if we circle
because
back?
It's a because we're trying to get a representation, we're trying to get a snapshot of a much broader issue. And I'm not sure we're going to get.
What if we circle back to just having this CBT come and speak before the board? Or does that not really, is that not going to be enough if we don't see the records?
Well, I don't understand how we can't find records. I mean, we have to, by law, have records of everything we do. If we can't, that just sounds weird to not be able to find.
Well,
something.
Then we would have
but it doesn't
to
say
them,
you have to index
them
and be able to look
them
up to hand them to somebody else. Sure, they're there.
Well, so that's what I'm saying.
But how do you
if
find
we send
it?
Records of when she's sending, if that's what was requested, is entire day's records, and then we can just pour through them from there at that point if we need to. But this just, again, this is just more, that's just weird. That's a weird response that we can't find anything.
It's not weird. But nobody said they couldn't find it.
Just want to make sure
well,
we're
not
you can't search. You can't search to find what you want, is what they're telling you.
The only way it would work is if we specifically said, I need records for this day. And we don't have any knowledge to be able to do that. So it's an impossible task in my mind to get anything of information, any pertinent information from it. So.
Well, one option is this particular Facebook post appears to have been dated February 4th. Why don't you just ask for the week of February 4th in records?
Can I just ask them a question? How many patients do you see a day?
Well, so it's emergency, so it's kind of odd. In February, we have a much smaller caseload, so that wouldn't be as wide, but on average, our average at that time was probably 11 to 14 cases per doctor, so it would be like 33 maybe to 40 in a 24-hour period.
Times seven.
And then, sure, well, and weekends are a little bit higher, and then weekdays can be a little lower, so that's the average. Sure.
Look, I'm just trying to value our time here, and I just,
too late.
It's, I mean, I'm sorry, but I can't imagine with all of our other workload that we have, you know, time to sort through, you know, 70, 80 plus records.
Well, okay. Unfortunately, that's our agency.
Go ahead. I'm going to make one more attempt to really upset Dr. Wright. I know you're going to tell me this analogy is totally off base, but I really don't think it is. I think we're trying to catch somebody speeding. You think you know they're speeding, but you want them to hand you to put the radar on themselves and then hand it to you so you can catch them speeding. You don't have any proof they're speeding, and you might think they're speeding. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But you can't go after somebody until they do something and nothing's been done.
And
there's a post on free speech offering an opinion on a broad topic, and that's it.
What if they posted I was going 110 miles per hour on the 51 where the maximum speed limit is 60?
And just to support Mr. Lougheed in that, you couldn't do anything because there's no record of that. There's nothing that says in the car this is saved on this time to that speed.
That's right.
But for our statutes, by law, we have those. So if you make that claim, we can go back and verify it based on the records that by law you have to keep.
And so it sounds like Dr. Wright wants to be the lead on
there.
Do you want to be the lead on that one, Dr. Wright, then?
I want him to drive up there and pick up the copy.
Yes.
Okay, Mark, did you have something you wanted to share, maybe some options?
Well, it's not any more bright than that. But one of the things that you may want to do is just take it in stages. So maybe we can have a vote on whether or not we want to see additional records and see if there's a consensus that that's necessary. And depending upon how that goes, maybe you can then take a second vote on to continue the informal to invite in the individual in question. And just kind of take it in stages and see if there's a consensus.
Okay.
Can we make the first stage more general and say additional information, not just additional records?
No, because how does that help, you know, board staff and you know, the doctor.
Okay.
We need to be as specific as possible.
So yeah, kind of picking back onto what Mark said, I think that's a good idea. So I'll withdraw my motion at this point and I'll make a new motion. I move to request records 4 days before, or it started 4 days before the post, which was, what day was that again?
February 4th,
so let's say from February 1st to February 7th, request all medical records at that point to be submitted.
So, hold on, Tracy?
How do we know for sure that the person was working that day?
Yeah.
That's just going to be Dr.
That's why
Dr.
Mark said a week. I hope that's a good idea or not, but I mean, a week would hopefully catch someone in those things, but that's just kind of incorporating what he had said around a week.
Okay, well, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I think if we're going to look at that motion, we need to say 4 days in which this technician was working. Like, they can definitely tell if she was working or not. They just can't tell what
position
she was working in. So say 4 days before the post of days that this technician was working, submit the record.
Okay, I think that's a good modification to it, yeah. So I'll amend my motion to say that.
Okay. So moved. Is there a second? Not hearing a second, so the motion fails. Do we want to try for a third time?
How about I make a motion that we talk to the CBT? That was the other part.
At a board meeting.
At a board
meeting. So what I think I'm hearing then.
That would explain.
Yeah, Dr. Housley, is maybe to continue this informal interview to invite the CBT in to answer questions related to this issue.
Second.
To her roles specifically.
Yeah.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to bring this CBT in, and so we would be simply continuing this
yes.
informal to next, would we do it next month, or?
Well, I think it's a matter of coordinating with board staff to make sure the agenda can support it, and also
okay.
the CBT's yeah. availability.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think it's okay to defer to board staff, so
yeah.
you can just
yeah.
let us
yeah.
know whether you want to do it next month or the following.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hope not. Let's do roll call.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Nay.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Nay.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Ms. Prager?
Nay.
4-3 passes.
Okay. So the board has voted that we are going to continue this formal interview for a future date of more fun to come. And this doesn't exactly conclude this matter today, but we will circle back in a month or two. So yes, well, thank you all for being here today.